Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
A mochi moment from Mark, who writes, I just want to thank you for making GLP-1s affordable. What would have been over $1,000 a month is just $99 a month with Mochi. Money shouldn't be a barrier to healthy weight. 3 months in, and I have smaller jeans and a bigger wallet. You're the best. Thanks, Mark. I'm Myra Amid, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Mark is a Mochi member compensated for his story.
Welcome to Sons of a Gun, a DCU podcast. I am a son of a gun. My name in full is Alexander Gunn.
What? Well, that's good. The lawyer's going to have
you. Got to tell your family about that, bro.
Hello, I'm Justin, and just checking my driver's license here real quick. Justin Gunn, holy shit.
Oh, my God. We must be brothers. What's your name, third guy?
I'm Pete.
Yes, and legally, Pete is our lawyer. He can't say what his last name is, and we can't say who our father is. I guess you'll have to find out as we talk about Daddy's Little Show, which is now out on HBO Max. Episode 4, Need I Say Door of Peacemaker, if you haven't watched it. Oh, these puns. Yeah. These puns are killing me. Real dad jokes, honestly. Yeah.
James Pun, more like, right?
Oh, hey, come on.
Anyway, if you haven't watched episode 4 on HBO Max, do go watch it because we're going to spoil it. But not a lot going on this episode as Peacemaker returns from
not
DC.
Not a lot. How dare you?
It's one big action scene.
How dare you?
Peacemaker comes back from DC2 only to find Argus closing in on him and eagerly. Meanwhile, he realizes he needs to take the Quantum Unfolding Chamber and take it to a new location, which he does with Adebayo. They take it to its grandpa's shack. And the big revelation we find out here through a flashback is that Augie did not build the thing and also probably did not build his helmets. Instead, they stole it from an alien who they killed in the woods when they were hunting with their kids. We'll talk more about that as we go on. Meanwhile, Harcourt finds out that she's been black booked thanks to Amanda Waller from season 1 and also kind of season 2 and also probably the Suicide Squad. She finds that out from Rick Flagg Sr., who recruits her and tells her to get back in the good graces Argus's leash. She's going to have to give up Peacemaker, leading to a potential confrontation at the end here. But probably. I do want to start off with a particular plot point that I didn't mention in the recap here. Red Sade Wild, played by Michael Rooker, gets hit on the head and get tricked by John Economos into thinking that it wasn't Eagly who hit him on the head. It was another eagle. And the I cannot believe Pete, who has been talking about multiple eagles every episode, not exactly right, but like way closer. We made fun of you a lot. And it turns out that like multiple eagles is actually a plot point of the show. I am sure.
Well, I mean, technically it's a lie that is told, but the idea that Pete told the lie first is very funny to me.
I felt very seen. I felt like Alex got a shout out too. And I felt like this was my shout out where it was like, no, there's only one eagle for all you dumb people. And Alex,
was the Alex's shout out appropriating Native American culture?
No, Alex's shout out was like, he was like, it's a 99 folding worlds, you know, how the worlds work in DC. I was like, oh, that felt like that was directed towards Alex, where he was like, how many worlds? What is this, a Polly Pocket universe? Like, what is going on?
I literally never said any of that.
I feel like I did a pretty good impression.
And we talked about how there's 99 worlds before, so.
I think the shout out Pete's talking about is just information, just knowing information.
I like information. That's that's one of my favorite ways of finding out things, honestly.
Yeah, just getting information. Same.
Let's talk. Stay on the Red State Wild thing for a second, just because that is a minor, very silly part of the episode. Obviously, he's doing an intense amount of cultural appropriation and racism.
Really leaning into it.
Really leaning into it in a way that's like, it's walking a line, I think.
I was excited because I was like, oh, good, he's dead. Then we can stop doing this horrible bit. But don't get me wrong. You know, the actor, I think, is great. But, you know,
Michael Rooker, very good. And it's, you know, fun how, like, you know, he's like misguided for especially the beginning of the episode. And Economist calls him out and like we're having fun with it. We get him eating a very hard piece of eagle shit.
Yes.
Like almost like a praline.
He like snapped it
bird
off.
Dump.
It was. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
why is it so hard?
4 days. You know, it's 4 days old. So.
Well, not to talk about other podcasts, but I do want to mention I listened to the Peacemaker podcast for this episode, and apparently...
You mean the one that your quote-unquote dad does?
Thank you for legally advising me to say quote-unquote.
Really good air quotes.
That protects you, right, legally?
Yep.
From the air quotes are court admissible.
Yeah, I mean, air quotes? No, case closed. Case
exactly.
Yeah.
If there's there isn't any air quotes or a pinky promise, I mean, what are we even doing? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, just to be clear, Pete's a playground lawyer from the fifth grade. He never went to law school. He's just the kid who's
know what the streets are. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You get paid in pixie sticks, I believe. Is that correct?
Fund dip.
Oh wow.
Wow.
You moved up.
I can't believe that's great. That's such a great call, Pete.
Yeah. I saw your ad, by the way, on the subway the other way. Noogies, call me.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Noogie problems.
We'll get you noogies. We'll let you give the noogies you deserve.
Yeah. 1-800-SWIRLIES. I don't know. Anyway, what I was going to say, though,
cootie infection? Call Pete.
You may be. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. Let me just get out this information,
please.
A thing that I love about eagle poop. Apparently, the first thing the props department delivered was just like goop. And James Gunn's reaction was like, no, have you never seen eagle poop before? And then he started furiously Googling pictures of eagle poop and sending it to the props department. And ultimately, apparently, he was not happy with what they delivered either, but that was better than, like, the goopy thing that they delivered before. So that's all the information I wanted to put out there about that. Yes, Jeff?
Interesting.
It almost looked like white chocolate that he kind of, like, just broke off and then ate. Mm-hmm.
That's a hopeful guess from you. Well,
but the after-credits poop was a different, more milky kind of poop.
No, I think it was the same.
Yeah, I think it was just an extension of the same seed.
Yeah,
well, let's talk about that later.
But
what I want to, just getting into all of it, like, that's like they were starting to sort of get to the comedy of it. Economos was like poking at it, calling out the culture appropriation. Then they cut to this scene at the end where we cut to like a, you know, music piece where Michael Rooker is dancing, doing like some, I don't know, I guess like, Native American shamanistic type things, or perhaps
pumping himself up for a
cultural
big,
appropriation version of that. Yeah. But it works, and then they also use it to find out where Peacemaker is actually hiding. And there was no joke take here.
Yeah.
It was just this guy is actually powerful, and that's cool.
That's
he's
the
furthering
joke,
the story
though, because you were like, "Oh, this is just an old racist dude." But then it turns out, like, oh, he has powers.
So wait, just to take what you're saying there, so you're saying, like, the takeaway message is, like, ha, it's funny to be racist, but it does work as long as you really commit to it.
Whoa, bro. That's not what I'm
saying. That's what you just said.
I know. I'm saying the joke was that this guy who we thought was a joke actually has powers. Like, he can contribute. He can help out.
Right. I think what Justin is trying to get towards is more the racism side than the powers side. Yeah. So maybe...
Well,
what's your takeaway?
I'm speaking just comedically. Like, they don't pay off the joke there.
Right.
If they're going to make it a joke. And, like I think, you know, it is not... It's not cool to do this. It's meant to be a joke, I think. I'm just surprised they didn't make it a joke at the end when they very well could have, like Pete's saying, But instead, it's played so straight. It was just a surprising choice to me.
Yeah, I'm not sure how this is panning out. You know, like we talked about, I think you brought up last episode, Justin, you were talking about sort of the Silver Age nature of this, that there were characters like that. But I'll reiterate the thing that I believe I said last episode, which I agree with you. That's probably the vibe they're going for. But the show is coming out in 2025.
Yes,
and
I
think you got to recognize it in some way. And the amount that they recognize it, like, if they're going to introduce this character, which somebody please listen and correct me if I'm wrong. I was definitely thinking about, we called it racism last episode. We touched on it here. I think it's cultural appropriation or misappropriation is probably the correct term. Whatever it is, what they were starting to get towards, like Pete was saying, with like Economos digging into him also throwing out terms like Chinaman instead of Vietnamese and whatever, definitely like going for having their cake and eating it to humor there. When he conks down and seemingly dies getting his head hit, that I was like, oh, okay, that's the thing. It's like we killed the cultural appropriator. But Pete, I think what you were getting towards is like, no, we actually give him more power off of that. And Justin, what you're saying is like, there's no end to that. So maybe next episode we get him being punished in some way for this?
I keep thinking it's the canary in the coal mine where it's like this racism is a clue that the other closet universe is very racist as well.
Interesting.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, I was definitely thinking about like maybe the DCU is the racist universe and the other universe is not the racist one, just based on that. Like, I think what I said before is like, you got to make a decision there, right? You can't be like, we're doing funny racist jokes, but also it's bad to be racist. Like, choose a lane and go with it. And the lane I'd rather you choose is not going for the truly tasteless jokes version, but actually making some sort of statement there.
Right. Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just a little muddy when you'd expect, like, they're definitely positioning him to be like dumb and wrong and backwards, I think. But they're not being explicit with it. They're being sort of like, they're flirting with it and then like big upping, giving him power that you would think it would be more a joke is the part where I'm like, oh, that struck just took me out of the show as a strange choice.
Well, I was hoping it would be a thing where like Economos accidentally kills him, right? And then later, maybe they're sitting around joking, and then they're having a beer, kind of a nice bonding moment. And they're like, hey, Economos, great job in killing racism or whatever. You know what I mean? We're like, hey,
or
that could have been
a weekend
fun
at Bernie's thing where Economos has to pretend he's still alive. That would be fun.
That's funny.
Something that's going to be very
Economos
pleasing to
has
me.
Be
Yo, wait,
racist?
Just on that, Alex, that's so funny because, yeah, then like if he's saying Economos would have to be like, do the cultural appropriation stuff and he'd feel bad the whole time. Great joke idea.
Thank you. That's a little plus up for Daddy. Let me throw out one of my favorite things here, though, which is more information that may or may not add on to this because I don't have enough of it. But not to go back to the podcast, but James Gunn did very casually mention that. Let me actually give a little bit more here because I don't think we've talked about here the fact that Vigilante in season one was a different actor and they shot most, if not all, of the scenes, and then it wasn't working out, and they recast the part with Freddie Stroma and reshot all of those scenes. And then Freddie Stroma redubbed all the dialogue for Vigilante in costume. So if you go back and watch season one, Vigilante in costume is like bulkier than Freddie Stroma. That's because it was a different actor, which is crazy. And the actor, I'm blanking on his name right now, but at least they've said, both said it was actually mutual creative differences where they couldn't quite exist, come to terms in terms of the humor of the character. So ultimately they reached the decision like, this isn't working, we need to part ways. Same thing apparently happened with Red State Wild, where they shot most of the scenes with a different actor and then it wasn't working. We don't know how mutual this one was, but the actor was recast kind of at the last second with Michael Rooker, who James Gunn has worked with on pretty much every project, and very quickly came in and reshot all of those scenes. So this is the speculation part. This is the part that I don't know about. But I do wonder if the actor was like, I feel uncomfortable about this, and they eventually got to a point where they had to bring in Michael Rooker instead.
Well, what sucks about that story is they didn't
throw out there.
They didn't fix the racism. They didn't crystallize the bit. You know what I mean? They got a different actor, but we're still in this very murky, weird situation.
Well, and I bet you it will pay off. It'd be crazy if they were like, this guy's actually really cool and good. I don't think that's going to be what happens at the end of the season. But it's just when you see it on an episode-by-episode basis, which is what TV is, it's sort of a failure of landing the plane internal to this episode that we're talking about.
Well, and I'd also throw out there, and I know Pete's going to take exception to this, but also I don't think a lot went on this episode, and whatever they're doing, could have probably compressed the action down here and included what's going to happen next week in this episode to get through whatever is going on with Red Saint Wild a little quicker.
All right, let me just run down all the things that happened this episode so you can shut the fuck up. Okay.
I got to count. Oh, you're counting them?
Well, I'll give you something to do.
Right. And by the way, jokes don't count as things happening.
Don't tell me what doesn't count, motherfucker. You're the one that said nothing happened.
Oh, okay.
No, you're right. Listing
there,
shit.
I'm sorry. There were a lot of lines of dialogue that happened. You're 100% correct.
Well, we got a flashback to childhood where we got to see a hunting accident gone awry. We introduce an alien who kind of helped explain the whole closet.
That in with the first thing.
I'm still on the first thing.
Right. Oh, okay.
I don't think we need to do a full recap. Okay. Like, let's just say,
let's
while
go
you were
through
doing
the
that,
episode.
While you were doing that, Pete, I blinked, farted, burped, and smiled. Does that seem like a lot happened there as well?
I don't know. Has it been a long time since you've done those things?
What Years. Does that matter?
Well, maybe it is more important than we know.
But I think the point is that Alex
maybe you haven't farted in 35 years, and this is the first time you've ever you finally.
So I just want to mention on the Peacemaker
family.
On the Peacemaker podcast, they talked about Justin farting and burping and how it hasn't happened for a while.
Yeah, we get it. You listen to other podcasts. Congratulations.
That's not what he's saying. It's a big plot point. What I'm saying, though, I think that maybe we can agree on is there was like a lot of internal recap in the episode with Peacemaker sort of telling the story of everything we've seen this season to Adebayo, where I was like, oh, this you don't have to do this. We already saw this, and you could cut around it or something. And we do get some cool stuff, but I do think this was a bit of a treading water episode setting up. And, you know, part of it is us knowing the rhythms of TV and comic books where it's like there's going to be another shoe that drops on this pocket dimension. And the fact that they didn't give it to us this episode, I think, is a strange choice as well, because not enough happened here to feel like we ate a meal. It feels like we just took nibbles on that.
You guys, when you're done taking turns slapping me in the face, I'd love to talk about this fucking episode. Okay.
I'd love to do that.
This is crazy. Great. You're not going to believe this. We are also talking about this episode.
Well, we're doing a lot of talking around what actually happens in this episode. I love the fact that in this episode, Economo stands up for himself. He has a kind of a big, like, fuck you, who wants some moment, which I very much felt seen in. I really like the fact that, like, we're learning a little bit more about the kind of history with Flag and Hardcore and all that kind of stuff was very interesting. The fact that we kind of like, you know, this dad is this backwards racist guy. How is he making all these helmets? You know, we got that kind of piece here. So, and the ads and Peacemaker sit down was a little recappy, but I also liked it because it talked about their friendship. That whole reveal, she put an ad in a fake magazine, was hilarious, but also setting her up like really wanting to see if this dimension is real or not, which I'm hoping when she walks in, like we've talked about before, she'll be like, yo, this is crazy racist. I've been here two seconds. And
I think you're absolutely right about all that, Pete. And I just felt like it was a setup-y episode to get to something that will next episode be really fun. And I think that's the nature of a lot of just television now, where it's like, they look at it like a season rather than what TV used to be, where it's like, let's make a really good episode and then we'll do it again next week. So I think it's just part of it. And every series has this like little middling episode, not every, but a lot more successful ones make more TV. But this is doing that. This is like just setting the table for the next, what do we have, four more episodes?
Yeah, four more episodes after this. I think a really good example of what this episode was like was John Economos procrastinating on putting in the door code. The entire time, I was honestly with Argus. Like, come on already. Oh, my God. Just do it or open the door.
Oh, my God. I was yelling the opposite. I was like, you stall. Don't blow it, man. They need you.
Yeah,
the whole world hangs in this moment here.
I know you take exception when we say anything negative about anything, but we like this show, and I do like the show, and there's funny things. I just hate you, and I hate Daddy.
There was a lot of stuff that I liked in this episode, too. Let me just launch one more criticism, and then let's get to some of the positive stuff. I also thought it was strange, like, this episode, we had a cliffhanger last episode. Oh, my God, Argus is coming for Peacemaker. Good cliffhanger. And then they come for him. Great. He escapes barely. Cool, sets up the door, he's doing well.
Goes back for Eagly, what a fucking...
Great. But then, like, then the Michael Rooker stuff, and now they already know where he is again. I was like, oh, we just did this. Like, and now they're going to go get him there. I was like, oh, let's... It felt like not only did this episode not move forward, some of the stuff it did move forward on felt like we just did this.
The major action of this episode was moving a door from one place to another, which is not the most
exciting hard to
plot
do.
Line.
Very hard to do.
But let me say, I liked the yellow sparkly CGI was awesome.
That was
I
very
liked
cool.
that effect. The way that mm-hmm. happened was cool. And to Pete's point, I liked the mystery of the fact that there's a little space purse that you can make a door anywhere.
Yeah.
The alien stuff, like. The fact the helmet, like, putting that as a little mystery in here, I think that's really interesting. So, like...
It's a sick space purse.
That's very cool. Yeah, you can
and
keep...
And I'm also wondering, like, those dials, you know what I mean? Like, he's kind of creating maybe a new pocket dimension with each door. I'm not sure. Like, is he dialing up the racism? Is he dialing down for each new dimension? I don't know.
I mean, I think the way that it works is that's basically like a key that transfers the door from one place to another. That's not how a key works, but you understand what I mean. But basically, like, he
lock
was saying...
Lock and key.
Yes, lock and key. It is creating a portal to the quantum unfolding chamber, which itself has 100 doors that take you to 100 dimensions. Pete, is this what you were referring to earlier? Yeah. Including the DCU, including the DC2, where the kyphotic alien comes from, the one who's burning the rat cat creature. And then also, I mean, we don't know if they come from the same dimension, but like where this alien we see them kill in the opening scene, that likely comes from another dimension as well. I initially, by the way, thought this was an imp, but this is not an imp. This is just an unknown alien. That sounds
alien.
A lot like Sean Gunn doing Weasel from Creature Commandos and the Suicide Squad. That's what I thought it was at first. I thought they were going to find Weasel in the woods, but nope, it's an alien. Weird alien.
Yeah.
With a tiny little penis, if you look close enough.
What?
And you always do.
What?
That's some of Alex's
you know
favorite
that?
Information.
Are you pausing it to look?
You pause? You zoom in? You don't zoom in on crotches? There's a mode on HBO Max you could set.
Alex is slipping to crotch mode for a half an hour, kids.
And you're the one telling me not a lot to happen? You're like, well, other than the alien penis I've been staring at for the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, Zaslav announced that when they changed the name back to HBO Max. They were like, HBO Max now with crotch mode.
Great. Yeah. That's what
HBO
everybody
Max
wants.
With HBO min sized alien penis.
Nice little, I'm forgetting the exact reference here, but they talking about like pausing and looking stuff up. They mentioned they're meeting at Kupperberg Park at Hartley in Vermont. I think it's Paul Kupperberg was a Peacemaker writer like back in the day in the Charlton day. Hartley also is a reference. I thought initially they were talking about it. Pied Piper, the Flash villain, but there's actually a writer who worked on Peacemaker and Suicide Squad comics who has a last name of Hartley. Vermont is nothing.
It's a state.
It's a street in L.A.
I'm sure there's a bunch of streets in different states called Vermont.
I'm sure there's a bunch of streets.
Yeah. I don't know why you're claiming
how
L.A.
How are you feeling about Sasha Bordeaux so far?
And here's the thing. I love the character Sacha Bordeaux in the comics. The wink bit was good.
Thank you.
I liked the scene at the beginning where they're all just like talking shit. That's what I feel like this show is good at, is like everyone being sort of being a vague dick to each other. And that was fun. I really liked the payoff of that when Sasha winks. It was maybe her only moment in the series so far where she's like interesting and fun. So otherwise she does, I think someone mentioned this in our Patreon Discord, why she just seems like she's mad all the time and like impatient. So like, and this is a character from the comics. If you're going to bring this character over, I hope they have a plan for her to be something.
Yeah, I agree, because right now she's just in the straight man role and that's it. And I guess somebody needs to be in that technically, particularly when you're doing the talking shit scenes. Like all the stuff with Argus felt very season one to me. We've talked a lot about the differences in humor with season one and season two. That was straight up just like people digging into each other and railing out each other scene that they would have done there. And personally, I prefer the humor, and like Pete called out the Adebayo Peacemaker scene where they're talking about the Soldier of Fortune style magazine. And that was funny without Peacemaker doing like, ha ha ha, you're so stupid for doing that. Instead, he was like, very like,
I also wonder if that's an A-Team reference. I wonder.
Sure. Totally could be. Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
A mochi moment from Mark, who writes, I just want to thank you for making GLP-1s affordable. What would have been over $1,000 a month is just $99 a month with Mochi. Money shouldn't be a barrier to healthy weight. 3 months in, and I have smaller jeans and a bigger wallet. You're the best. Thanks, Mark. I'm Myra Amit, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Mark is a Mochi member compensated for his story.
It makes me, hearing you say that makes me think, like, this episode is probably my least favorite, and it coincidentally, it's the one that moves away from the emotionally driven story coming from Peacemaker. Like, we don't get a lot of that. He's recapping it to Adebayo, but we don't get a lot of, like, moves there. And I think that's in telling, because I think the humor's different, I think the story's different.
Him getting upset at ads for not being disgusted by his outfit was hysterical. That was really nice. If you guys are just going to continue to shit, let me start talking about the episode in a more appropriate manner. The text message that Economos tries to send to Peacemaker was hysterical. It was long, it's which funny. Is a funny choice. The fact that Peacemaker is taking the time to read it and can put stuff together, hysterical moment. I was laughing. I thought that was really great. And for some reason, Eagly's not leaving without the bologna was a fun bit.
Do you guys eat bologna on the reg?
Well, I was on younger, yeah.
Really?
Well, here's the thing, because I for some reason am like, bologna, yuck. But I eat salami as often as I possibly can. I was just watching this episode, and I was like, ew, give that eagle bologna. And I was like, I eat, like, it's like a...
Worse than bologna, probably.
Salami. Bologna's like salami that's been in the blender for, like, 1 second. Right? I don't know if it's
salami, I always feel of, like... I could be wrong, because I think I've had bologna maybe once in my entire life.
Same. Not something we ate.
When I was like, I should try bologna, I guess. People eat bologna. And, yeah.
Whatever, Cornell.
It's fine, but... Salami at least has spice in it. Like, it's more spicy.
That's why I like it. Yeah.
There we go. Listen, fried bologna is delicious. All right.
I'm not turning my nose up at it. I'm literally saying, why don't I eat bologna? I'm trying to open the bologna.
There's nothing wrong with it. I think it's because people have successfully painted it as a cheap meat, whether it is or not. I think it's a similar thing that afflicts, like, Spam, which everybody's like, oh, it's meat in a can. But Spam is also great. Like
Spam had a glow up.
So salty, but like Spam fried rice, the best.
That's what I say. I like Spam. Yeah. I like salami. I like every salted meat. But for some reason, I haven't really gotten into bologna. I'm just trying to change my life.
Really like the when Economo spit on Fleury, and Fleury got really mad. He was like, who spits on another person? I just thought that was
hilarious. To go back to the bologna, but I'm still thinking about this. Do you think it's maybe like TV and movies from the 80s successfully pushing when kids were like, bologna sandwich? And they'd always be very bummed about it.
And there's something about the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile, which pushed bologna a lot in our youth, that I was like, something's off here. They were pushing it too hard.
Why?
And then there was a bologna rejection.
What do they want from me?
What do they want from me, exactly?
While we're talking about Wiener Mobiles, I really loved the ads, like cool. It was almost like a Buick wagon, but it was like a car. Loved it.
Don't
it
shit
like
on us for talking about something and you make it even more esoteric for
like my 90s sweet car there. I love
it. Why are you guys having fun with bologna when I want to say a car's name and stats?
It was great
the VIN number on that.
That was a funny car for her to be driving around. I thought it was cool.
Yeah. Interesting. It's almost like we could accept that we all have different interests in slight and different ways, and they're all acceptable in their own ways. But I guess probably not.
I do. That's a great point and something for all of us or one of us to reflect upon. The one moment Tim Meadows I thought was funny, the Ginger Cool stuff. Having him get so mad at the spitting in the face I thought was hilarious. Necessary like gear change for the character. Like he's so like out of the vibe, like just doing bits. And then when he freaked out, I was like, yes, I love that. Heightens it to me.
Have we talked about my favorite, and I'm sorry to anybody who believes this, but crazy theory about this show that's out there right now, which is that Tim Meadows, Langston Fleury, is actually Martian Manhunter. And the reason people are theorizing he's Martian, I've seen this like multiple times, particularly on Reddit in different threads, where people think it because they're like, he's so weird. And yes. I would venture the reason he's so weird is he is a comedic character on a comedy TV show, not because he's a Martian who doesn't exist on Earth. That's all.
Well, I mean, the bird blindness and it would be an interesting
for sure,
alien
but
reveal.
I think it just sort of points to an inability to understand from comedy from a lot of people versus being mixed with like poison theory brain, which, mind you, we all have on this podcast as well, 100%. But I think it's like some things aren't theories. Some things are just like, this is fun jokes and this is a character with arcs. He doesn't have to be a classic DC Comics character.
Look, they are talking about a lot of aliens. There's numerous alien characters on here, but you can
except
see why
the alien
someone
characters are like not DC Comics characters. They are a weird dude who likes to burn rat cats, and then a weird alien with a shriveled penis who has a silver purse. Christ. Like,
well, you don't know if his penis is shriveled, Alex. His species may that may be
it could
like
be a grower, not a shower.
100%. Maybe it was cold in the woods.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're running around.
That's what he's out there doing. That's what his space purse has, is a penis warmer. Let me write penis warmer down. That's a good product.
Shark Tank, here I come.
Yeah, Shark Tank. All right, sharks.
I mean, how did you guys feel about Hardcourt, you know, where it was like cut to Hardcourt and she's still fighting dudes in parking lots drinking Bud Light?
Here, hold on a second. What were we just talking about? Oh, Tim Meadows' character, the Martian Manhunter. We'll move on in a moment, Pete, but this is actually something you might like to talk about because it's part of the DC stuff. I agree with you, Alex, that it's probably just a comedy thing, but both things can be true.
Mm-hmm.
I would be surprised if they would burn Martian Manhunter as a character on Tim Meadows, an actor that you couldn't really throw into a big, more serious style action movie as Martian Manhunter, and B, just in this show. But also maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's totally fair. I know I'm being very dismissive to people online. It just feels like we have been trained at this point to look at all these things, not for the thing we're currently watching, but what the next thing is and the thing after that and the thing after that. And my feeling is Tim Meadows has bird blindness because bird blindness is funny. He's calling John Economo's Ginger Cool because it is funny. It is not a clue to a bigger thing. Similarly to how like everybody is combing every single frame of every single episode and every single line of dialogue to point to the Earth X theory that DC2 is a racist dimension, which some of the things certainly point to that, but not everything does. Some of the things are just things. And it's okay to talk about theories. That's fine. But like, just kind of let it be sometimes and enjoy it for what it is. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it's also, that's also funny to me that on the internet of it all, when it's like, everyone's like, aha, this is the clue that points to this being a racist dimension. I'm like, we already have enough evidence. Like, you can stop gathering evidence of, like, this pencil looks racist. I'm like, yeah, yeah, there's all the other stuff. Yeah.
There's a lot of surface things. Like, they're all white people in that dimension.
Yeah, all white people. Maybe the biggest clue. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just, like, not to keep on this, but I do find this sort of fan behavior very fascinating because I get sucked into it all the time on this very podcast. Naturally. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, without calling anybody else in particular, I was watching this TikTok from a woman who was talking about a theory about this show or this season being based on Alice in Wonderland. They're like, I'm going to throw out there that I've been watching the show, and like, one of the first things that happens is Peacemaker pulls up at this weird place for the Justice Gang auditions, and White Rabbit comes out. And White Rabbit is a weird character to throw in there, but she's the person that sort of leads them down this hole that ultimately leads to another dimension that's sort of like magical and absolutely wonderful. And I was like, oh, this is really cool and interesting. I really like this idea, and maybe this is something they're playing with. And then she started to get into, like, and I started to think about it more and notice all these things. Like, they cut off the other Peacemaker's head, and who else cuts off heads is the Red Queen in Alice in Wonderland. And I was like, all right, I think you're going too far. And then there were a couple of other things she floating out there. At that point, I was like, I liked what you had to say at the beginning there. That was an interesting, like, not a theory so much as a thematic thing that maybe James Gunn was thinking about while I was writing. And then we can stop there. You don't need to analyze absolutely everything in every episode. I think you are correct that it is a going down the rabbit hole thing. We are dealing with, like, going through the looking glass almost literally through this portal door. And that could just be, like, themes we're resonating off of versus specific references from episode to episode.
But it's all also our brains are broken.
Yes,
but it's also the, what is it, the Jim Carrey movie, the number 23 or whatever, where it's like, if you look for these things, you know what I mean, you can kind of warp yourself into drive yourself crazy because it doesn't stop when you turn it off. You know what
you,
I mean?
I can't believe it, but you just did a reference that was too deep for me. I have no idea what you're talking about.
You don't know that movie, Alex? That's really
number
funny.
23, I don't.
Uh-oh, I suspect some information coming your way.
Yeah,
Jim Carrey made it in his period where he was like, I'll do any movie that's not a comedy. Yeah. And he made this movie that was like, I don't remember being good.
Yeah.
But
well, it's a fun rabbit hole to go down with him.
It is very prescient in that how all of the internet has ruined all of our brains, and we can be like, those conspiracy theorists are crazy. But I believe this episode of Peacemaker was actually an allegory to General Lee's final charge during the Civil War, and here's nine things that will prove my case.
Yeah. You know what it is? I just looked up number 23, and I do remember that movie. I just had forgotten about it. But the thing that they were talking about...
So you have seen it?
I haven't seen it. But I do remember the poster very specifically seeing that in movie theaters.
Interesting.
But there's a great comic for anybody who hasn't checked it out called Batman Dark Patterns, which is coming out from DC right now. It's awesome. It does a bunch of like 3-issue arcs cases for Batman. And the third arc, I want to say, was named Pareidolia. And that is, I'm reading it right now, but the tendency for perception to impose a meaningful interpretation on a nebulous stimulus. And basically what it means is like seeing a pattern where there is none. And I think sometimes we are correct. Sometimes we are right on the money with this theory. Sometimes we are way off. And I think there is this tendency to literally or figuratively go down the rabbit hole with these things. As long as, here's what I think about, because like I think about this a lot. We used to do this a ton, particularly with Riverdale, where we went down like absolutely insane paths for theories. As long as at the end of the day, if you're like, well, that was entirely wrong, and you kind of move on from there, I think it's totally okay. Have fun with that thing. If you're like mad at the end of the season when Langston Fleury does not turn out to be Martian Manhunter because of bird blindness, then that's the point where you kind of got to check yourself, because you were writing the thing, not following the writing where it's going.
Well, plus you're enjoying the thing you ostensibly liked at the outset way less if you're mad that they didn't do a pretty unlikely thing at the end of the day. Yeah. But to be fair to us, I think all of our Riverdale theories were justified in 100% potentially accurate.
And as we've learned, sometimes theories like there are multiple birds turn out in different ways than we expect.
Okay, so Harcourt flag senior here, if we could kind of move
By the way,
back.
Pete, I appreciate you paying attention and contributing to the discussion. Go on.
That
I think we covered going down a rabbit hole well enough, sir. if we could bring it back to the rabbit hole that we all agreed to talk about.
More of a divot, really.
I think that the layers here that we got with the Flag Harcourt relationship were very interesting, and just their kind of back and forth was pretty cold and icy. But man, just heartbreaking news for Harcourt, you know, being blackballed, and Flag real easy to be like, hey, this is me. It's all Waller. She did it on the way out the door. It was like, well, if she's not there anymore, why are you following with her orders? You know what I mean? Are you running shit or what? You know, I thought that was pretty, it was pretty cold blooded, and, I'm worried. You know, I got a little hope when Harcourt was walking away and was like, fuck you guys all suck anyway, that maybe she's going to keep driving and not fuck over our guy, but I doubt it.
Well, the thing with Harcourt is I've had a hard time getting into her storyline because
she's so hard, right?
Yes, she. It's written in her name.
Yeah,
almost.
Yeah.
I prefer a soft court, personally.
Yeah.
Definitely.
When I'm playing tennis.
Especially
sense.
For tennis. Yeah, that's good. We're right there on the same page. I just feel like, you know, it's a classic arc that we've seen a lot of times where, like, this person can't deal with their emotions. They fill the void by punching stuff. But then eventually she's going to make the correct emotional choice, or she's going to honor her emotions. And it just feels so sort of rote. And I wish there was more detail and layers to her stuff, because I like the actress. I like the character in theory. Yeah. But they're keeping her on just a tight track. And I'm like, let's lose. And maybe they'll do a twist at the end and she will make, like, fuck over Peacemaker at the end of the season. But, like, it just doesn't feel like they're going to do that.
Well, we'll see. Because, I mean, there's love is in the air. You know what I mean? I don't know if Peacemaker is going to end up. I don't know if Peacemaker is going to end up with this Harcourt or another world's Harcourt, but.
I was just going to say that's an interesting thing that they start to get towards, but don't really complete the thought when Adebayo and Peacemaker are talking, that he should absolutely not be dating the Harcourt 2 from the DC 2 unless he tells her who she really is, who he is, and they continue a relationship from there. Once she has all the information on the board, it is deceitful. She thinks he is somebody other than he is. And I'm curious, I think they will deal with that at some point, and she will probably be grossed out and horrified by it. So I don't know. I don't know if there is a future, at least in this season, for Harcourt and Peacemaker. Certainly not with Harcourt 2. And probably not with Harcourt as well, because she is still stuck on the death of Rick Flag Jr., just like Rick Flag
Sr.
But
she's got feelings for Peacemaker. I mean, come on.
Well, they drunkenly hooked up on the party boat, but I don't know if that's feelings.
Well, no. I mean, ads called it out.
In my experience, that is the most intimate form of love you can ever have.
A party boat?
On a party boat. Yeah.
What
a party boat hookup. That's Romeo and Juliet without all the killing each other stuff.
Shakespeare originally wrote it on a party boat, and then they made him change it because they hadn't been invented yet. They were called party frigates at the time.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
We don't know what a pontoon is, asshole. That's Queen Elizabeth. That's Queen Elizabeth I'm doing.
Yeah.
Rewrite it, asshole.
Hey, you janky asshole.
I do think, because I think Harcourt 2 is also hiding something, if my theory is correct, that she actually is not
crazy
on
racist.
The racist side. If,
oh.
I mean, I'm like two reveals deep down my own personal rabbit hole. Like, if this is Earth-X and it is like a racist universe that we're pretty sure it is, I feel like she's going to end up being revealed as part of the Resistance, allowing Peacemaker to not be revolted by her. That'll be something she reveals, and then he'll be like, funny, you say that I'm from another dimension and I killed the guy that you have feelings
for.
Oh, wow. Let me throw something else out there, because I have seen a little bit of that, particularly because Harcourt, Keith, and Augie are all presented in the opening credits from DC2, as well as the main versions. So obviously there's going to be some focus on there. There's also been a crazy amount of speculation about Keith maybe being the Keith from the original universe who was taken over somehow or something like that, which I might be into, think is interesting. But my personal suspicion at this point, and I know this is like sort of digging the same hole I've been digging all episode, but I think it's going to be much more straightforward. I think it's a Nazi dimension. They're all Nazis. I think at absolute best, Vigilante is part of the Sons of Liberty in the other dimension and is exactly the same as he is in the main dimension, because we already got him wondering. He was like, "Ooh, I wonder what I'm like in there." And it's probably like legitimately exactly the same. Like that would be.
But it's funny. I feel like it'd be funnier if he was like a badass, super clear headed on it dude who knows how spider's eyes work. But I agree with you. It's one of those two choices, whichever one is funnier.
By the way, I did really like the tossaway line from Adebayo when she walks into the shack. She's like, "Ooh, spiders. Adrian, love this place."
Really establishing that. Well, but interesting, talking about theories, like there's this in the Adebayo Peacemaker scene, she goes way out of her way to say, that's probably a world that messes with your mind and gives you exactly what you want. I was like, what? Why would... Like, that's a theory that we just don't think is accurate. It was very strange to have her put a flag in it.
Yeah. 2G. I felt like it was the... I took the opposite from that. Like, I think that was James Gunn being like, oh, people might speculate about this, so let me throw out this possibility. And Peacemaker was pretty definitive about it's not that, which I think was a way of moving on from that particular plot point.
Maybe. It was just strange to me, because...
Who would if think anything, that? Why would that be your first thought?
Why would that be your first thought?
Well, she was trying to kind of wrestle with this idea of like he is broken and he's mentally projecting a closet where he can walk into and be with his family. So I think the next step is like, oh, if he's maybe it's a world that kind of does that for you, you know?
I don't know. It was a strange line. It struck me as in a scene that felt like it was almost all recap. She says this wild idea, and there's a beat after it for Peacemaker to think about it. So maybe it could have been a joke with like sort of a ba-dum-bum style like reaction, but I don't know. It struck me as odd.
I was talking about throwaway lines that were fun. When he was stalling at the door, Economos being like, "It sounds like a cat is in a drawer." He's like, "All right, but afterwards, we should really get to that." I thought that was fun.
Great way to confirm your lie. Another line I liked, calling Judo Master a little Kung Fu Bulbasaur.
Now, is Judo Master like the Kenny? Are they going to kill Kenny every episode? Is that kind of the fun of Judo Master?
Well, they didn't kill him. You're saying like Peacemaker landing on him and knocking him out?
Well, he looked dead. The episode we saw him last time, we thought he was dead. And it's like...
Well, yes, I think it's a similar... He's not actually dead, but I think the bit is that he gets absolutely wrecked all the time. That fight scene, by the way, very fun. The Judo Master Peacemaker one.
Yes,
in the woods,
very fun.
Well staged. I liked sort of like consistently kicking the football down the field and going after it with the silver case. And that being Peacemaker's focus versus Judo Master. So good stuff there.
Also, Judo Master calling the racist dude. He said something. It was a really funny line. I like that whole kind of back and forth there in the van.
Yeah. Anything else about this episode we want to call out in particular? I will call out of our episode of the podcast. It occurred to me that going back and defining pareidolia is probably the most podcast thing we've done in 18 years of doing podcasts. So I just wanted to throw that out there and apologize for that. We'll never do that sort of information again.
Well, I wouldn't put that out there because that's probably not true.
Too much information. You overate on information. Yeah. One last thing I want to say. We talked a lot about how in the previous episode, post-credit scene was like clearly an improvised scene. It was very fun and funny. Right. This one, which was the eagle shit eating.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah. This one felt the opposite. This one felt like a scene that was written and meant to be played like it was improvised.
And I felt that, like it was just an alternate take where they had this long one and then they cut down one and used that.
Yeah, that's
one.
What Justin is saying.
Oh, okay. I am, but I feel like when in the Tim Meadows scene, it felt genuinely improvised. This one felt like he knew what he was saying, and it was forced improv. So, like, I was like, oh, just let him improvise. I feel like they could find a good joke.
But the line.
The last joke, "This eagle eats better than I do," is a good line. I mean, very fun line.
That's a very fun line and used whenever time you see somebody. You're like, oh, look at this dog. It's got better clothes than I do. You know, whatever. It's a fun bit. You've been somewhere and you've seen like a really well taken care of dog or a really well taken care of cat
like
or whatever.
Really well dressed dog. Is that what? How often do you see that,
dude? In New York City, there are plenty well dressed animals walking around. I don't know.
But
if you noticed.
What piece of clothing are
I
you?
I saw a parrot with a top hat on one time, waiting in line for muffins.
No, I know, but that's just a top hat. Like you are, I assume, wearing more clothes than just a hat on a regular basis.
Pete walks around his house in just a top hat.
I've walked around in a barrel before with suspenders on, so I don't know what you're talking about.
And you're having a hard time out there.
Yeah, that's right.
How's Popeye, by the way? How's Popeye doing?
Like, doing great. I do think there is this fun kind of parody going around where DC does the flip now, and now they're doing the after credits where they're kind of winking at that whole kind of bit.
Yeah, I know. Marvel has not invented after credit scenes or end credit scenes, and they did this in the first season as well.
Like, they're doing a flip just like they're doing a flip. Now they're doing after credit scenes just like they're doing after credit scenes. You tell me, guy.
Yeah, no, that's true. I guess actually Marvel did invent opening credits and closing credits. You're right. I'm sorry. Those are the first movies.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. I was right.
Yeah, I remember back in the day when they first showed off Iron Man, the first movie in 2008, and people were like, whoa, is this real? Is he coming
what
towards
moving
me?
Moving picture. Did you capture
mentioning
the soul?
Blade. Mention Blade.
Never heard of it.
Well, guys, do we have to have all of our fights all the time? I guess we do. I guess we do.
I guess we do. Just real quick, to put on our theory hats that are the only things we wear, what do you want to see happen in episode 5? And I'll mention, this is the last episode that was sent out to critics. The last 3 episodes have been held back from press, and also James Gunn said his PR agent for some reason. I assume they have it now after they heard that. But, like, this is the last episode before some apparently big, crazy things go down.
I mean, I think it's what we've said. Like, we're going to get the dimension, the story behind the dimension here revealed. And then I think that's when the whole story will really touch off. I've really liked this season. This episode was a divot for me, so I'm hoping it can pick back up where it
stop hitting the same point, you fucking asshole.
I'm talking about the season as a whole, the shape
bring
of it.
Golf and, into this, Jesus Christ.
A divot can be unrelated to golf.
Oh, yeah? When else do you do it? Make a divot?
Well, you see a divot, it's like a tiny hole.
Yeah. Yeah, and a golf course, when you're talking about golf.
Or anywhere. I think anywhere you see a tiny hole, you could call it a divot. That's what do you call a tiny hole when you're not on the golf
course? A tiny hole, you asshole.
Like, oh, I almost tripped in that tiny hole.
And sorry, just to explain, a divot, and this is pretty interesting, is a piece of turf cut out of the ground by a golf club and making a stroke. Yeah. So I think Pete is right here, though I've seen a lot of theories online, and it's interesting that this actually connects. Early 16th century of unknown origin. Should I keep going? Should I keep doing
no,
it?
No.
Wow, you are information crazy.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though, Pete. You sat on a golf course, but you can actually swing a golf club anywhere.
Oh, wow. That's
what I've proven beautiful. That.
Yeah, but you're bringing golf that. Into it. So either way, we're talking about golf. Anyways, I think that I'm pulling for a romance sooner rather than later. I want to see these crazy kids start improving in their lives in ways I can get behind. And I don't care if it's one hard court or the other, or one, well, I guess there's only one peacemaker now. Well, technically there's 98 more. But I want to either get into the dimension and call it racist and move on and then kill off Rocket's character so we can kind of have a nice last three eps, but we'll see what's going to go down. But I'm also hoping that Eagley takes out Tim Meadows.
How many more Eagles will we see, Pete, this season? I'm just trying to.
Oh man, hopefully 98 more. You know what I mean?
Okay. One from each dimension.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wow. They're solo beasts, I heard in this episode, mm-hmm. from a trustworthy source.
That's true.
Yeah, I want to see some sort of comedic resolution to the Michael Brooker thing that's just starting to grate at me a little bit. So if we can get that, I'm going to feel good about it. But, you know, otherwise, what you guys said, let's move on with the dimension thing. Let's have the other shoe drop so we can move on, because I never like it when it's like we're holding back the story. You know, just get to the story.
Yeah.
Like, whatever the story is, if the story is racist dimension, let's get to it and figure out what that means for Peacemaker. Let's hopefully not spin our wheels too much longer. And that is it. If you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Peacemaker. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, Daddy, we love you.
Daddy. We used to call him Dad, but now we call him Daddy. And that's better.
Yeah,
no, that's better.
Is better. By the way, what do you guys, what should we be calling Jennifer Holland, who is married to him? Should we be calling her Mommy or Mama or what do you
Mama.
Think?
Mama.
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 Pete, what do you legally think we should do?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.